This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for May 25th, 2021. We have established that we believe there's a quorum, and so we're going to convene the meeting, and I'm asking the chair, R. Paul Martin, to take the role.
Actually, I'm the secretary. Please answer up when you hear your name. Well, Sharon Adams.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen.
Present.
Nick Arena. Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey.
Sorry, here.
Lyndon Foley. Elizabeth Van Gunten.
Present.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Okay. Nick Arena's in here. Lyndon Foley. All right. We have nine. That's a quorum.
Thank you, Secretary R. Paul Martin. Now I will read the agenda. Number one, convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Two, roll call. Three, adopt agenda. Four, chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Five, minutes approval, 3 minutes. Six, KPFT treasurer's report, Fred Blair, 5 minutes. Report, 5 minutes. Q&A, 5 minutes. Seven, review KPFK's fiscal year 2021 draft budget. Business manager Barry Brooks, 60 minutes. Eight, review of corrected KPFT draft budget, 20 minutes. Nine, Association of Fundraising Professionals, Beth Von Gunten, 10 minutes. 10, new business. 11, adjourn no later than 10:15 Eastern Time. I'm going to move the approval of the agenda. Are there any additions or discussion?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. That last bit in there, this relates to the flurry of emails with large attachments that we got earlier, I think, right? And what is that? I mean, I got all these emails with attachments to them, some of them pretty large, and I'm just wondering what on earth is this and what is it about?
Yeah, go ahead, Beth. You speak to that. Beth requested this.
Those are copies of the Association of Fundraising Professionals policy templates that are best practices that they recommend, and I'm not proposing any kind of that we need to make a decision on them yet today. I did want to get them into circulation for future consideration, and I can address it more completely. I don't want to take up all my 10 minutes at the front of the meeting. I'll be happy to answer all those questions when we get there. So each of the emails was a separate one policy per email. They were in PDF form because that's the way I could get them. And be happy to address any questions you have when we get that far. Thanks for your interest.
But what's it about? I mean, okay, there's this group and they have policies, which, by the way, for future reference, it's really better to send one email to the committee mailing list with links instead of lengthy documents in it. But what are we doing? What is this about?
I assume that's what the agenda item was for, was to go into what that was about. Right now, I would really rather save this for, this could be a lengthy discussion, and that's why it's on the agenda for later. There are technical reasons. I sent them the way they did. It's the limitations of the system I've got, and the fact that I downloaded those when I first went out and sought them out when I first came onto the LSB. a year and a half ago, and they were more available then. I'm glad I downloaded them then because they reconfigured their website and they're not as available as they once were. So I'm glad I have them, copies of them. And I work with old software and old hardware, and this is what I was able to do on my iPhone. I can receive all the messages from the committee list, but in order to send on that list, I would have to agree to accept their cookies, and that's a blanket acceptance across the whole system, and that would affect every other setting that I have for cookies, so I don't do that. I do have email contact for each person, and it reaches you either way. So it's my workaround for the limitations of my system.
So you're never going to be able to send an email to the committee's mailing list?
Not the way it's configured now. If you can find a way to set it up so that I'm not required to allow them to place cookies, then I'd be happy to. But if I allow those cookies, my system says I allow all cookies. It used to be a lot more nuanced than that, but it's not now. So,
oh boy.
I don't trust cookies. But I do have email addresses for each of you, and I've managed to reach each of you, ahead of this meeting. So, there's that.
This is Sharon for the stack. Hello?
James, are you muted?
Hi, Sharon.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea even who was sending these emails because you didn't put your name on them, Beth. And I had no idea what they were for or even if they were relevant or why they were being sent at all. So I actually oppose this agenda item because I don't know, didn't have a chance to read it, don't know what it's about, and it's completely, you know, no information except a bunch of obscure emails.
If I may address that, James?
So I guess I make a motion to amend the agenda to remove item 8.
I'm not going to be asking for a decision today.
Hold on, Beth. Beth, suspend for 1 second. Sharon, before you made a motion, Beth inquired if she could respond. And so I'm going to let her respond, and then we'll go to a motion. Go ahead, Beth.
So I've held these in reserve because we've had for months because we have had other urgent business. But increasingly, issues regarding fundraising policies are impinging on other governance issues at KPFK and elsewhere around the network. And because we don't have standing policies on this, it tends to leave the door open for pretty much anything anybody comes up with. And I'm concerned about that leaving us open to liability. So this is my attempt to ratchet down that liability by establishing some standards. I'm not going to be asking for any kind of decision on this today. This is to get these into circulation for your consideration, for future consideration.
Sharon, for the staff.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, well, this is the NFC, the National Finance Committee, so we don't have anything to do with fundraising or fundraising goals. And, yeah, it is true that people have been trying to engage in underwriting across Pacifica in violation of our, rules and other things that people have been doing regarding fundraising, like, for example, trying to have national football and other football sports games on our nonprofit community radio station. So it is true that there have been attempts to do fundraising that are inappropriate for our nonprofit status and for the PPPB rules, which I guess we don't have to comply with right now. But anyway, point is, it is not something that is appropriate for this. It's maybe something that should be in the governance committee. And therefore, I object to this being on the agenda, and I make a motion to remove agenda item 8.
This is Beth. pointing out that evidently just my fellow committee member does have an interest in discussing this in as much as that's what she's just done. That wasn't part of what I was bringing up, but it pertains.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor. It's a committee, so we don't need a second. So I guess we should open it up for discussion of the motion. Is there any discussion on this?
Teresa for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Does Anita want to weigh in on this?
I can't answer for Anita, but we'll see if she would like to. If she asks for the stack, we'll let her do that. I just want to remind everybody, we don't have a time limit on this. We are I have a motion to adopt the agenda. That's what we're discussing. But we do have a guest, and so I urge us to, you know, try to do this as efficiently as possible. Any other discussion?
Sharon, for the stack.
Arpal.
Fred, with a correction.
Yeah, let's set up.
Anita to the stack. Thank you.
Okay, I heard Arpal, and then I heard someone else. Was that Fred?
Yeah, I have a correction. It's item 9, not
okay,
8.
Anita, okay, hold on. Arpal, Fred, and then Anita.
I think this is something that sort of relates to finances, but it doesn't relate to what the NFC does. And so, yeah, I don't think this is a topic that we have to get into. So, yeah, I would support the amendment.
Fred?
I just wanted to correct Sharon's statement. It's item 9 on the agenda. And I would just like to hear Beth out where we, you know, where it's appropriate or not for this committee.
Anita?
I mean, I'm fine with hearing her out, but frankly, you know, I was able to open some of the emails, but not all of them. I'm not sure it's the size of the file or what have you. So, again, I'm always interested in financial information, but I don't know exactly how it relates to this. Some of the templates that I was able to open, I think I would like more clarity. And doesn't have to be on this call.
Okay. Anyone else?
Sharon.
I'm sorry, Sharon. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. I was away from my computer, and now I see, yes, it's item 9. So my motion is to amend to remove item 9. And I just want to say again, we don't do fundraising. We just look at the numbers. Maybe I would feel more, you know, inclined to doing this if there had been, like, a name attached to the emails that were being sent and, like, an explanation of what all these documents were. But I don't think we're going to have time to do it, and I just don't think it's appropriate for this committee in any way, because we barely have enough time to get through our actual, you know, looking at the budget kind of stuff that we need to do. So I am going to be voting no.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
I don't have the agenda in front of me. How much time was allotted for that item, item 9?
10 minutes.
Okay.
It's the last item on the agenda, other than new business. Anyone else? Hearing no one, I guess we'll go to a vote. Arpal, will you take the vote?
Okay. All right. Let me get back up to it. It's an amendment, and the amendment is to remove the item Association of Fundraising Professionals. That's what it seems to say. Yeah, to remove the item Association of Fundraising Professionals from the agenda. And please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Yes. I said no before, but I mean I'm voting yes on the amendment.
Okay. Teresa J. Allen.
Allen says no.
Nick Arena?
Yes.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a yes.
Got it. Thanks. Fred Blair.
No.
Chris Corey?
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Lyndon Foley?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Van Gunten?
No.
Julie Hewitt?
No.
R. Paul Martin, yes. James Sagerton?
R. Paul, I'm going to pass for this round.
Anita Sims?
Yes.
Okay, going back. Chris Corey?
I'll go yes with this.
And James Sagerton?
I'm as the chair, I'm going to abstain since my vote will not mean anything.
All right, 6-4, 4 against, 1 abstention. The amendment passes.
Thank you, R. Paul. So now we go to, I guess we can go to the main motion, which is to adopt the agenda.
Yeah, that's what's on the floor now, yeah.
Okay, so will you take the roll, R. Paul?
Well, you might want to ask
if there's any other, yeah. Is there any, I'm sorry, R. Paul, finish your thought.
Ask if there's any objection.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider the agenda adopted. And we'll go now to chair's announcements. 2 minutes. And tonight we will have as our guest KPFK Business Manager Barry Brooks, who will present a draft budget from KPFK. The KPFK draft budget was not approved by the KPFK Finance Committee or the KPFK Local Station Board. The Pacifica National Board Finance Committee is now tasked by resolutions of the Pacifica National Board, or PNB. The resolution was October 29, 2020, and resolutions of the KPFK LSB to review the KPFK budget, make appropriate adjustments, if any, and recommend it to the PNB for appropriate action. We will also review Pacifica Radio Station KPFT's corrected draft budget. At our next meeting, we hope to continue work on the KPFK budget. After completing work on the KPFK budget, we will consider the national office budget and revisit the central services formula that is inextricably related to it. Hopefully, this schedule will allow NETA to pursue its primary goal of seeing the 2020 audit completed by the absolute deadline of June 30th, 2021, and allow the NFC to complete its main function of reviewing and approving budgets in as timely a manner as possible so we can begin the process on time for fiscal year 2022. That is the end of the announcements. Secretary, we have minutes for approval?
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Okay. I move that we approve the minutes of the May 11th, 2021 NFC meeting.
This is Sharon again.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Did you get my note, R. Paul, about the minutes?
Yeah, I saw that. And I think you want us to say that you weren't there or something, but
yeah.
That's not really how this goes. I mean, we take attendance, and there's no tracking of when somebody shows in and then they go away
Okay, but I just want my objection to that motion noted somewhere, somehow.
Well, that... Well, you can say it, but I mean, the thing is, in terms of getting it into the minutes, the way to do that would have been to be there and have a vote and then vote. Because basically the deal is with attendance at meetings is people are at the meeting, and then some people go away for a while and come back and go away and come back and stuff like that, and it would really be a nightmare to try and keep track of that. Plus, the rest of us have no idea. I mean, I didn't know you had left last time. So,
okay,
you know.
I understand. That's fine then. No, no worries. I just thought I'd ask. Okay, that's
all right.
Okay. Is there any other discussion of approving the minutes? Additions, subtractions? Remember, these are always subject to corrections at a future date. Is there any objection to the approval of the minutes? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 6, which is the KPFK Treasurer's Report. Fred Blair for 5 minutes, report 5 minutes rather, and then question and answer 5 minutes. Are you ready, Fred? Fred?
Is Fred on mute?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had myself on mute. I asked if they... Can people hear me all right at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. A few hours ago, I think at noontime, which was 5 hours ago, I sent out a copy of my May Treasurer's Report for background information for everybody on how the KPFK, basically how the KPFK fund drive did. I shouldn't say it's not in the past. We're continuing the fund drive that started on April 20th, and I had an email with Mo Thomas, our interim general manager, and he's going to continue the fund drive until June 6th. An update to my report. I just received an email a few minutes. I think we all received an email a few minutes ago from Ali Lexa that the fund drive has passed $300,000. Earlier today, I had an email exchange with Mo Thomas. And there's money outside of the Allegiance system that has come in, and the fund drive is currently at about $325,000. Mo hopes to get our past $400,000 by June 6th. In any case, my treasurer's report basically gives a few some information about KPFK's financial status. As of May 12th, the bank account, as reported by Barry Brooks, had $53,000 in it.
Okay, I want to say something, Fred. As of today, the bank balance is at $139,000 today.
Thank you, Barry. It's a general principle that the bank account.
Fred, excuse me. Barry, I appreciate you wanting to get that information in, but you're going to have 60 minutes in just a couple moments, so it would be better not to interrupt Fred while he's making his report. I appreciate the intent, though.
Okay. I don't want to read my report verbatim, but it's a general principle that the station's bank account sorry, somebody's trying to call me my cell phone. If you hear that. The station's bank account is generally flush with money during the fund drive, so that's normal. You're probably paying bills also. In any case, the vital statistics for this fund drive is that the daily average has been averaging about $8,500 per day. And as you heard, the current pledge total is about $325,000, as reported by the general manager. Expenses at the station are about $240,000 to $250,000. Operating expenses for the station are $240,000 to $250,000 a month currently. Earlier, at the beginning of the year, we were averaging $300,000 per month, but staff reductions and expense cuts have reduced it now to about $250,000 a month. So at this point, income from the pledge, from the fund drive is about breaking even with expenses for the month. As I have tables on the 3 years history of fund drives, and you'll note that this fund drive has the lowest daily average of the four fund drives this year. There's been a steady decrease in income coming in during the fund drives, and this drive is I don't know why, but it's underperforming. It was very strange. This fund drive, the first 2 weeks, the station was averaging $3,000 to $4,000 a day during the fund drives, and then on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, Mo was able to reorganize the fund drive so that the income shot up very abruptly. They had as around Cinco de Mayo, the income started coming in at $16,000. We had 2 days of $16,000 a day pledges, and there's been a lot. And so the daily average is now up at $8,500. I'm getting distracted by my cell phone. In any case,
okay, Fred, go ahead.
And so there's been a steady decline over the last 3 years in fund drive income at the station, and that's why obviously KPFK is in a financial crisis. During this year of the during the last year of the pandemic, our income abruptly fell in half over what it had previously been, and we've been running monthly deficits. So my questions to Barry are, given our income, what are we paying? What expenses are we paying, and what expenses are we not paying? I know that prioritizing payroll is the number one priority, and then after that are employee health benefits and payroll taxes. So I don't know what my time currently is, but I'm going to open it at this point. I want to open it up my report to questions from the board or the committee.
Yeah, that's appropriate, Fred. You're about right on the timing. So we'll go ahead and open it up for any questions for Fred on his report. And please, let's not ask questions for Barry, but these would be questions for Fred.
Chris Corey to the stack.
I hear you, Chris. I heard Anita, Chris. Chris,
Sharon.
Anita, anyone else? Sharon? Was that Sharon?
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with Chris.
Okay, I just had a quick question. What was the target, the per-day target for the fund drive, if you could possibly tell me?
Yeah, it was $650,000, and I'm assuming
no, per day.
The daily average?
Yeah.
Let me calculate that.
Fred, the question was, what was the hoped for daily average, not the actual?
Thank you, James.
I'm calculating that. The fund drive was supposed to be, 33 days. So the fund drive average would have to be $19,700 per day to reach that.
Thank you.
Nice quick calculation there, Fred.
Well, I'm
okay. Anita was next. Go ahead, Anita.
Yes, and thank you. I actually was calculating because that's what I thought it was. the 650. My question is more for clarity. When you say the that the pledges, that is not income that's come in all of a sudden, and that is $325,000, is that correct?
Right. And okay. And our normal fulfillment rate is 75% of that the first month, and probably 90% by the second month.
Thank you. That answered my question.
Thank you, Anita. Sharon?
Yeah, I think my question was somewhat related to Chris's, but Fred, when did the fund drive start?
It started April 20th, and it was originally set to end May 23rd.
Okay, thanks.
Fred, I have a question. It seems like the fund drive began on a very low note. I think you were pulling in $5,000 or $6,000 a day, and then it gradually increased to about $7,000 or $8,000 a day, and then $11,000. And then eventually it went to 15 or 16 a day, and that seemed to be as the IGM Mo Thomas arrived. He wasn't even there at the beginning, but as he came in and then applied himself and rearranged the grid a little bit, or you know, made a better schedule, it seemed to improve. It is, and I have two questions. Is that an accurate description of the curve that the fund drive followed, and do you have an opinion on the subjective question of whether or not that had to do with Mo's presence and leadership eventually in pulling it together? Because prior to his arrival, there was no general manager figure or actual person there to coordinate things.
You're basically saying that there was no leader present at the beginning of the fund drive. Actually, the fund drive started... I don't know.
Go ahead,
who, right.
Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard a voice. In any case, right, there was, Mo was actually present before the beginning of the fund drive. He, I believe he came the week before, he visited California the week before the fund drive and was at the station. In any case, he had said at the local finance meeting that he planned to start the fund drive off slow and build. But it originally, on page 5 of my treasurer's report, there's a shot of the Allegiance website page with the daily pledge numbers. And they were all over the place. The first day was $5,000, the second day was $2,000, the third day was $6,700, next day was 6,000. It was all over the place, but it was very low numbers for the first couple of weeks. As I say, the fund drive only took off after May 5th. And, I'm assuming that's because of Mo Thomas's or the general manager's direct intervention and reorganization of the fund drive. And from that point on, There were days there were large number of pledges were raised. Weekends are typically KPFK weekends are typically very low, around $3,000 or $4,000 a day, and then but weekdays can be very high. I think we had one day where we raised $17,000. In any case, this fund drive was very different from the other three fund drives that of the year, the October, December, and February fund drives, where we had a daily average of $11,000 a day and for February and $12,000 a day for December. So I don't know the details of what, you know, was taking place inside the station. That's not visible to governance. But obviously changes are taking place at the station and they're affecting the fund drive. That's about all I can say.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you. Can you just to follow up a little bit, I was under the impression that Mo was there before the fund drive, and then at the beginning of the fund drive or somewhere near the beginning, he went back east, and then he came back again. Is that not correct, or did I understand that?
I really don't feel comfortable answering that because Mo is not present, and I don't know, you know, exactly how the station is being managed internally. And
Very good. That's a good answer, and I'll stop asking the question. That's very good. If I could say, we are now at, we're now a little bit past time for this item. I did want to ask our KPFK director if she had any additions or comments on this, but it would need an extension of time for this item. Would anyone like to move for an extension of time? Hearing no one.
I'll move. This is Lyndon. I'll move to extend time for 5 minutes.
Okay. Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing no objection, I'm going to first go to Beth and ask her if she has any additional comments as the director from KPFK on the Finance Committee. And if she doesn't take the full 5 minutes, we could go for Q&A for Fred or move on. Go ahead, Beth, if you have anything.
Thank you. Just at the beginning of the fund drive, Mo had arrived at KPFK, but was just in the process of getting oriented. He wasn't here for long. He had a lot else on his plate, and then he was gone. And what I was contacted by some staff who said, quote, that they were worried about the fund drive. This was in the first week or so when we were showing minimal response. And I said, how so? And they said, well, there's no one in charge. There's no one heading it up. And so there wasn't really anyone to coordinate, to direct people to actually pitch. I think once Mo was back on site and had gotten up to speed, then he was able to take those issues on and address them. And from that point on, we did see the figures pick up some. There's some concern. I'm not sure how to address this without touching on the issues that the committee has chosen to delete from the agenda later. So there are issues about how the pitching is being conducted, and policy implications, legal implications, financial implications. I had hoped to discuss that later, but it's the wisdom of the committee not to do that. So
okay.
I'll let that lay where it is. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Any other questions for Beth or for Fred? Okay. Hearing none, let's move on to our next item. And that would be the review of the KPFK fiscal year 2021 draft budget presented by business manager Barry Brooks. And Barry, before you begin, I would like to ask you, the budget that you presented to us for review on this meeting, can you tell me, I know there were, I think maybe, I've heard the number 7 iterations, but I know there were several different versions of the budget that was adapted over time. As the committee and the LSB were looking at it, is the budget that you're submitting now, is that after all of that discussion and work went on at KPFK, or is this before? What exactly is the budget that you're going to present to us?
Okay, well, this was budget that was presented. It's probably the 5th iteration because we were going back and forth with the finance committee in trying to come up with a resolution to try to get to a balanced budget. And they kept saying that they wanted a 30% cut in salaries, and they wanted to adhere to 6 fund drives at 21 days each, which comes to about $1.5 million for the year, and that's just not sustainable for KPFK. So we were just going back and forth. Ann Yale, who was the general manager at the time, we were working together, and we were trying to cut back hours instead of cutting back staff. But they were so, the finance committee, local finance committee, was so adamant about cutting back 30% of salaries. So then I said, okay, well, I'll show you a budget. So then I went in. This budget actually shows a 10% cut across the board for the whole staff at KPFK, and then also an additional 12 people were laid off.
So, Barry, before you go on, I just want to make sure. My question was, is this the seventh iteration? I think you said it was the fifth. So right. Maybe there were a couple more after that. But I believe where we are now is that the LSB didn't approve the budget, that the local finance committee didn't approve the budget. So it gets kicked over to the NFC, and you as a representative of management, albeit the management you worked with to put this budget together was Aniel, and he's now gone. But the ball is sort of back in your court to basically present a budget to us, and then we have to respond to whatever it is that you present, since nothing was approved by the LSB or the local finance committee. So that's my question to you. This is your version of the management position at KPFK. Would that be correct?
This budget reflects on the management position with additional 30% cut in salaries that they wanted. That was mandated by the PNB.
Correct. So this budget is I get it. So it's the management position minus the 30% cut.
30% cut is in there too.
It's incorporated into that. Got it. And
right.
Anita, I have a question for Anita, and I apologize for Barry for doing this at the beginning of your presentation. But Anita, I believe is that appropriate, since the finance committee didn't, you know, judge this or take a position on it? They voted to disapprove it, and so did the LSB at KPFK. Now we're dealing with the previous management. And so Barry and or management, assuming, you know, Mo is now the IGM, they're basically free to present anything they want to us, and then we just proceed from there. Is that right, Anita?
Yes, that's correct. Obviously, if it has to be realistic goals.
Well, now you're talking like an accountant, Anita.
yes, sir. And of course, expenses that are realistic. So
yes.
I have seen you to answer also another question that you might have. Yes, I have seen this budget before. Barry sent it to me a while back.
March 22nd.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
And so I am well familiar. I was really looking to see if any revenue line items had been changed from that time over. And I assume, Barry, that there's no changes.
No, it's the same. It's the same.
Okay. Thank you.
So thank you all for indulging. I just wanted to set, get the ground level established that we're not dealing with whatever the many different iterations of this budget that went through the process at KPFK. We're starting with whatever is presented to us here, and we have, through the resolutions of the KPFK, LSB, and the PNB, we have the ability to adjust as appropriate, and then we'll recommend to the PNB appropriate action on their behalf, on their part, rather. So I'm sorry for that, all of that, Barry, but why don't you go ahead with your presentation? And thank you for being here.
Okay, thank you. Yes, this budget includes KPFK's employee 10% cut in salary across the board, the laying off of 12 employees, 5 part-time, and 12 permanent, which was a 36% decrease. Does not include the renewal of the station license fee for 2021, which is approximately $17,000. I had allotment of $80,000 for separation pay and employee pension retirement and severance compensation on this budget. We've also reduced the central services by 30% since our revenues had been cut by 23%. And KPFK's net income for 2021 on this particular budget is a negative $5,663. We eliminated the cost of the Radio Research Consortium, which is a measurement, and that's about $4,400 a quarter. We decreased our telecom expenses and services by 40%, and this does not include a SAG-AFTRA contract renewal for 2021, and it also includes a $42,000 allotment for interest payment for the FJC loan of $3.6 million. Like I mentioned to you before, it was very difficult to try to do this budget, to work it, when the local finance committee was actually wanting to see 21 days for 6 fund drives for an average of $12,000 per day, which meant your listener support would be $1.5 million. And as you know, our fund drives have been underperforming for the last 2.5 years. So that, and then when we do a fund drive, we generally have to extend it to try to pay our bills. So that's it. That's the budget that you see here.
Okay. That's your report?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is my report.
Okay. So that leaves us a lot of time for question and answers. And I will open it to the floor. I know I have some questions, but I'll open it to the floor for questions.
Fred for the stack.
Yeah, for Lyndon stack.
Have a question.
For stack.
Lyndon for the stack.
And who else did I hear?
Lyndon.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yes, Barry. This is Lyndon Foley in Houston.
Go ahead, Lyndon. Well, who did I hear first? I heard Lyndon, but I heard another voice. I don't.
Fred for the stack. I'll go after Lyndon.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yeah. Hello, Barry. You mentioned a reduction in central services because you have a reduction in revenue. So you did this unilaterally in your budget without looking at the other 4 signal areas. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. So, well, I would think that, you know, that everybody has different revenues. So I don't know how you could come to some conclusion that you could, you know, drop yours, like how many ever thousand a month you did. That's just my observation. Thank you.
Barry, I'm going to let you answer that if you wish, although it was an observation, not a question. But I believe that at KPFK it was interpreted that the PNB resolution that required a 30% reduction in expenses at KPFK, that was interpreted to mean that it included a 30% reduction in their central services payments, because that was considered at KPFK to be an expense. Is that your so this is now my question to you, because Lyndon didn't actually ask a question. He made an observance. But is that – how did you interpret that?
That's how I did it, with the 30% reduction in expenses, because we were trying to cut in every situation that we have – responsibilities for in expenses. So we did a 30% cut in central services too, because of the mandated 30% cut by the PMB.
So you were viewing the central services as an expense, which I guess in accounting terms may be correct. I'll ask Anita that in a moment. But I think we could fairly say that was not anticipated in the PNB resolution. And so the resolution was not completely thought out in that regard. So I don't know if we can fault KPFK for interpreting it that way. But I'm now going to ask Anita. Anita, how do you classify in accounting, how do you classify central services payments? Are they expenses for the individual units, even though they're internal payments inside of Pacifica, or are they some other category?
No, they're an expense to the station, to the
unit. That does seem logical. Thank you. Any other questions?
Julie to the stack?
Fred to the – Let's
take a stack. I have Julie, and then I heard Fred.
Yeah.
R. Paul, anyone else?
Beth?
Anyone else? That's enough for now. Let's start there. Go ahead. Was it I can't read my own writing. Was it Julie?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
Hey, Barry, I'm looking at the budget here, and I noticed that, you know, per the question that Jim asked you earlier, this does look like on the personnel cost line that expenses drop through the year because of the cuts in personnel. But then when I look down further under expense detail, many of the other categories like payroll taxes, pension plan contributions, health benefits, et cetera, many of those other rows do not show the same kind of drops in the later months of the fiscal year. Can you help me understand that? Thanks.
What line item are you looking at?
So I'm looking at basically lines 53 to 59 have, oh, wait a minute, not 53, 54 to 59 have, you know, payroll taxes, pension plan contributions, you know, those kinds of expenses that I always think of as being, you know, kind of keyed to payments to personnel, but those don't drop in the later months.
Well, those are a significant drop for the year in comparison to fiscal year 2020. You had fiscal year 2020 of $116,000 for the payroll taxes, FICA tax, and now we're showing $73,301. So that is a reduction relative to the layoffs.
Okay, it's just
down as far as when it's occurring, like when the layoffs are occurring, but it is a reduction.
Julie, did that answer your question?
Well, they're not smooth through the year. That's all. It just doesn't seem that they should be smooth through the year. I don't care that much.
Okay. Unless Barry wants to come back on that, we'll go to Fred. Barry, did you have anything to add?
No, it's a formula, so it comes off the salaries sheet. So it's a formula, and that's how it's been done for the last 3-4 years.
Okay. Fred.
Yeah.
Teresa for the stack.
I heard you, Teresa. Go ahead, Fred.
Yes, I think we should be clear that during the pandemic year, because of the disastrous drop in income at KPFK, there was only enough money to pay payroll and health benefits, and there was not enough money to pay any of the central services. So that's why central services were not paid in fiscal year 19 and fiscal year 20. And that's continued into the, pretty much into this year, fiscal year 21. I think Barry has paid 1 or 2 months of central services, especially when we got the, PPP, loan. So, my question, Barry, is, Is that correct, that the only things basically you've been paying in the last in this year are basically payroll and health care benefits? And then my second question is, what aren't you paying? So could you answer that?
Sure. For fiscal year 2021, we paid, I think, three central services payments. I think we're going to pay one in this month, May. Usually during the fund drive, we have the increase in cash flow, so it gives us the ability to pay our central services. The tactful strategy that I've been using is basically paying the payroll, health benefits, and keeping the lights on, the more, you know, essential expenses that KPFK incurs. We did have a large legal bill with one of our lawyers for the negotiation of the SAG-AFTRA contract. That was about in excess of $50,000. We got that down to about, I believe, 10 now. So I kind of put that on the back burner and try to pay what I can. We're kind of behind on some of the premiums that we've been paying. So that's the only ones that I have come up with as far as I have set aside until a rainy day, until we get some more money in. So, but other than that, we're pretty current.
I don't see how you can pay the central services this month, given that income is basically a break even point, or maybe you can.
At this current day, we paid our payroll for the end of the month. We paid our health benefits. So if we have an extra cushion, if we have extra cushion at the end of the month, I usually go ahead and pay the central services.
Well, then,
so hopefully that will happen. I don't know.
My question is, then how are you going to pay payroll next month when we don't have a fund drive? I'm considering June 6th as the end of the fund drive, though maybe you'll have to do another fund drive at the end of June. There's just not enough money coming in. That's the basic problem. Okay.
Fred, I'm gonna ask you to suspend for now. You can come back. As I did with you, Fred, I'm gonna allow others to do a little bit of back and forth, because sometimes you ask one question and logically leads to another question. This is a committee, so we have some freedom to have a little back and forth. So I will allow people to do follow-ups, as I did just now with Fred. R. Paul, go ahead.
Okay. I'm looking at your bottom line on it, and it looks like you're saying that end of year, when everything's all done, you're going to have $5,663. Is that right?
A loss, yes.
Yeah,
but bear in mind, that's with, you know, the layoffs, you know, the 12 layoffs that I have.
Yeah, yeah. It's line 47 I'm looking at, income surplus deficit. And so when everything's done, you figure you'll have a deficit of $5,600.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
And I'll simply say that I hope we do get a new template for everything here, because it makes it much easier to read if they're not all different, all the budgets different. But thank you. Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, R. Paul. Beth.
Chris Gordon,
yes,
the staff.
A lot of what I had wanted to ask has been covered already, but I did want to get clear about the staff reductions that you mentioned. The staff reductions that you've mentioned so far, those are reductions that have already occurred. And have you factored in?
No. This particular budget has 12 employees being laid off, 5 part-time and 12 permanent. Now, currently, we have laid off 8 people since October of 2020. Okay, so that's going to be a different scenario in which if you wanted to see, you know, what currently we have, the budget is a little different.
That's okay. I had wondered how you, whether you, on the basis of how many cuts you were calculating this, so whether they were ones that had already been made or speculating that further ones will be made. So thank you for the clarification.
This is speculating.
That's enough for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.